Before we open God's word, let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father in heaven, we've gathered ourselves again in this afternoon hour to assemble around about thy precious and living word. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy promise of thy presence to be wherever two or three would gather in thy name, that thou would be in our midst. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou would be with us and provide for us according to thy word and according to thy Holy Spirit what each and every one of us need. And we are mindful, Lord, that thou hast created us, thou hast placed us here for a purpose, and we are all here this afternoon for a reason. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou art so gracious unto us to give us a purpose, to give us a reason to be here. And may we give thee the honor, the thanks, and the praise. Through Jesus' name, amen. With God's help this afternoon for our meditation, I'd like to read from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 13. And I'd like to read a few verses from 22 to 30. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Our Father and our God, we have read sobering words, Lord, that thou hast sent to thy Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that he might speak while he was here upon this earth, and that these words would be recorded that we might have them, Lord, to direct and guide our lives. Father, our prayer is that we would strive to enter in through that narrow gate. Father, that we would recognize that there is no room for self in going through that gate. Lord, but we must be wholly given unto thee to do what thy will would be in our lives. Lord, to be thy servants, to glorify thee here upon this earth. Lord, that thou would say that thou dost know us and that thou wouldst administer unto us an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we recognize, Lord, for all the things that we have heard throughout our lifetime and now in this afternoon, what we shall hear, Lord, we shall give an account for. And so we pray thee that we would be sober in our thinking, Lord, and that we would recognize that these are the words of life, and that thy desire for all mankind is that they would all come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. And so, Father, we would pray, Lord, that we would live lives that would be well-pleasing in thy sight, that we would be blessed in that which we would do. Lord, that we would live for thee and that we would glorify thee here upon this earth. Help us to let our light shine, Lord, the light of Jesus Christ. Lord, and that it might be evident that we are thy children in whatever place that we might be. Lord, that we would lift up thy name and speak of thee and witness, Lord, for thee, of the things, Lord, that thou hast done and of thy creation and even to the saving of our own souls. And so, Father, we would just pray, help us, Lord, for of our own selves we have no strength and we don't have any wisdom or knowledge of our own selves. And so humbly we would just lean upon thee and just ask thee that thou wouldst grant us grace day by day to be whom thou wouldst have us to be and to live for thee and to bless and magnify thy name. Lord, for those who know thee not, Lord, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst direct them and that thou wouldst help them and that thou wouldst show unto them the great, great love that thou dost have for them and thy desire to have them in thy presence for all eternity. And so, Father, we would also pray, Lord, for those who were not able to be here this afternoon. Lord, we have already in this day, and we would pray yet again, Lord, that thou wouldst be with those who are senior in their years or are physically unable to be here. Lord, we just simply would lift them up in prayer and ask thee that thou in thy goodness and in thy omnipotence, Lord, that thou wouldst provide for them a blessing from thy Holy Spirit as only thou canst do. And so, Father, we pray thee, Lord, that as we would be here underneath the sound of thy voice this afternoon, that we would redeem this time, that we would recognize, Lord, that it is thy Spirit that is speaking to our hearts, and that what thy Spirit would speak to us, that that would be written indelibly upon our hearts, that it would not change, Lord, but that we would know it to be truth, and that we would live in this truth, and oh God, come to that point where we would even, at the end of our years, die in this truth. And so we just give thee thanks for this enlightenment of who thou art and of thy truth that is contained here in the Scriptures. So, Father, we have varied needs. We are a larger congregation, Father, and we are in different phases of life. Father, we would just pray for each and every one from the youngest, Lord, to the oldest, Lord, to those who would be coming up through Sunday school, to those who would be graduating Sunday school today, to the teenagers and to those who are young and single, and to those, Lord, who are beginning life together with a mate, Father, whatever it might be, Lord, we would just commit us all unto thy care and keeping. We need thee. We need thy direction. We need thy presence in our lives. And even then to our senior years, Father, Lord, that thou wouldst be with us and that we would know and feel that thou art ever with us and that we can feel thy presence throughout our lives, throughout all ages. Lord, we just want to give thee the thanks and the praise for all thy promises that thou dost give unto us through thy word. Lord, they are our hope, Lord, and they make us, Lord, to be able to trust in thee. And so we just give thee thanks for all these things. Many are our petitions that we can ask of thee. Lord, we just simply lay out all things before thee in sincerity, Lord, and would ask thee that thou wouldst be our helper, be our strength throughout our days, and provide for us above even our asking, as thou alone art able to do, for these things we do ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
As Jesus went through the cities and villages, teaching, as he journeyed toward Jerusalem, he brought the message of the kingdom of God as he went and taught from synagogue to synagogue. And someone heard the teaching and inquired of the Lord this question, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" The question of salvation, the question of citizenship in the kingdom of God is a good topic to ask questions about and to come to the Word, to come to the teachings of Jesus Christ to receive the answers. And so this man, one that was among the crowd, asked him, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" And Jesus responds with the answer that we read together. As the brother mentioned in the prayer, the words are sobering. The command that Jesus gave was to strive to enter in at the straight gate, to apply oneself with diligence, with effort, with zeal. And this idea of striving not only is one of effort, but of fighting. It's one that's active and pursuing. To enter in at the straight gate. And this is true. We know that Jesus described himself as a gate into the sheepfold, and that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no way unto the Father but by him. And so our strivings, our efforts, the application of our attention, our strength, our zeal should be directed toward the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and to pursue him, to know his commands, to follow him, to be at one with him. As the questioner may look to himself and look around him, he may hear the response and the command to strive as something to sorrow over the cost that is associated with it. And Jesus yet continues on and talks of a master that shuts the door and excludes and leaves out those who are not within. And again, sobering message that there is a time allotted to respond to this command to strive, to respond to the invitation to come unto him through the straight and narrow gate, through Jesus Christ, to obtain the salvation of our souls. There is a time, and after that time is concluded, he says, many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And Jesus continues on. And he describes the response of those who might have thought themselves worthy to be able to enter just by means of a request, but were not able. And then those from the east and from the west and from the north and the south, maybe those in the eyes of the Jews that would be foreigners, they would be people that were outcasts and are not worthy. Jesus is saying that they shall come from all these places and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. And they're sobering words, that the time is limited, that the observations of those who enter and those who are excluded do not line up with the expectations of men and the way that we often think of who is worthy and who is not. Behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. What you expected isn't necessarily how everything will work out. But God's ways and his thoughts are so much higher than ours. And regardless of how the hearers and how we feel about these words, and if they are too hard and too restrictive, they're the words of Jesus Christ. They're the words of truth. These unchanging words. This is the command to strive to enter in. It's true that there is an appointed time to respond. It's true that there will be a final judgment. It's true that there will be an exclusion of those. He says, all ye workers of iniquity. Those who considered the commands of Jesus Christ not worth following, Those who considered the sacrifice that Jesus Christ prescribed as being too expensive, and it not being worth to follow the commands of Jesus Christ, but to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it says, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. See, there was an anticipation among the Jews that somehow, based on their heritage, based on their family lineage, they would all eventually end up in the kingdom of God. Abraham would give them a way in because they were his children through the flesh. But Jesus said there would be a harsh wake-up call. That it is not by the family heritage that they would be able to enter. And that they might be surprised to see those from foreign lands, those who were not considered part of that commonwealth of Israel, to be part of the kingdom of God. And this must have been hard for them to understand. They had an expectation of earning and deserving God's goodness and a place at his table. What did they walk away with when they heard these words? Did they go away feeling depressed and sad that, oh, I have to strive, really? Oh, it won't be a foregone conclusion that I will be worthy? And as they looked at themselves and as they looked at the earth and the dust from which they came, these things are saddening the heart of a man. They're depressing. And yet they're the truth. What will you walk away with when you hear the words of Jesus Christ speaking the truth? Those words that we even heard this morning that are hard to hear, that we don't enjoy to listen to, but that doesn't change that they're the truth and that there's the sober reality. Take them for what they are. Take them as they're spoken. In the simplicity, without a complicated explanation. Believe them and trust them because they are the words of Jesus Christ. And that truth alone is the one that makes the difference. These aren't the words of a man, like I'm standing in front of you, or of a teacher that's taught in the ways of this world. These are the words of Jesus Christ. We hear of the cost, and we hear of the broken expectations of our own thinking. But look who's speaking them. Would you look at Jesus? Would you realize that the one who's speaking the words of truth is the Savior? He's the one that's bringing a gospel of reconciliation with God, of deliverance from sin, of deliverance from eternal punishment. There is a straight gate. And there will be a day when that door is closed. But Jesus came forth to bring forth a message of truth and life. And he speaks to us the truth. And he confronts us with that. And it stops us in our tracks. And it causes us to think and to soberly evaluate the direction we're going. And we realize the one that's speaking it is the only deliverer. He's the only way that we can have a hope. Without him, we wouldn't have any hope. But he's come and he's expressed the love of the Father so that we can understand who God is. And he's laid down his life on our behalf. And he's taken upon himself, our very sins, so that we can be delivered, that we can be forgiven, that we can be spared, And it's the same Savior, the same Jesus, that speaks these words to us. And we should take great hope. And those of you who are outside the fold, this account of the master that stands at the house and they shut the door, that is going to happen. It's going to be true. But today the door is open. And so your question might be, what is going to happen with the crowds? How is the world going to respond? What are the trends? What are the things that are popular? Or will a lot of people be saved? And is there a good probability that I'll just be kind of caught up with that and ride the wave? When people came to Jesus and asked him questions about them out there, he often brought their attention back to their own hearts and back to himself. He told Peter, when he was asking about John, the disciple, Jesus said, what is it if he abides till I come back? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. How meaningful is it if there are crowds in this country that are turning to the Lord in some way or another? How important would it be if maybe in your city that there are so many that you knew? What about your friends that you enjoy to spend time with? What if more of them would come? What about your church or in your family? Are there few that be saved? When Jesus brushes off all of those distractions and focuses in on my heart and your heart and what our relationship is with him, we gain clear focus, clarity on what's important and what God desires. He is desiring our hearts, our faith and our trust, our allegiance, our devotion, our surrender. And he's willing to take whatever it is that you may have when you look down at the accomplishments or lack thereof in your life. He is willing to receive and to change you, to provide all that you're needing, if we but trust in him. Because that door is still open. That door is still open for us, anyone whosoever will, that hears the word of Jesus Christ, to strive to enter in at that straight gate. You may. You may freely today. You may obey the words of Jesus Christ, his call to service and dedication, to surrender your life, to walk in obedience to his commands, even as he had outlined in the Sermon on the Mount. You are welcome. You're welcome to the foot of the cross to look upon the Savior, to see what he has done for you, to see that great love, and to see the message and that word that he would have imprinted upon your heart of his great sacrifice that he made on our behalf. He speaks the truth to us, and there's no way that we can fulfill it except that we take our eyes off this earth, off the crowds, off of even ourselves, and look only to him. And find in him our hope. Find in him the strength, that strength that overcame the cross and death, our greatest enemies. We will find, if we seek for him with all of our heart, we'll find exactly what our souls have been longing for and yearning for. And we will find every reason to strive, every reason why there should be no cost that is too great, for he paid the cost that we could never, never give through his shed blood, paying for our sins that we might be delivered. We need to be careful. The Jews felt that they were worthy to be granted entrance into the kingdom based on their heritage. And Jesus gives some words here of others who felt that they had a reason for entry, that they had some reason that would be valid aside from the commands of Jesus Christ. Because this is what they brought to him. They begin to say, "We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." It seems like they had spent some time with Jesus, eating and drinking. And to me, it sounds as if it's perhaps a social gathering. We need to be careful that if the expression of our faith is a mere social gathering, and not that entering in to the open door to sup and fellowship with Jesus Christ and be at his table and have him break the bread as he did when he talked with those that were walking on the way to Emmaus. And as Jesus explained the word, their hearts burned within them. And they remembered the teachings. And they saw how what Jesus had done brought all of those teachings together. And that was the message of God to them. Not a social gathering. And thou hast taught in our streets. It's good that Jesus went through the streets. Yet I believe that the call that Jesus Christ gives to his disciples as he invites them to spend life with him and to walk with him day by day, that we do not leave Jesus out in the streets, but we invite him into our homes, into our life, into our decisions, into our challenges, into our struggles. And remember, he's the Savior. He's our hope. He's our help in our time of need. He wants to be near to us. And for us to spend that time, from the time that we hear the command to the time when that final judgment comes, to be near to him, to desire and long to please him. But those who left that relationship and that call for a closeness of communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ and simply accepted whatever social aspects there were to religion, or kept him at arm's length, they will be told, "I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Because without Jesus Christ making us new, creating within us a clean and a new heart to serve him, we are on our own. And we will live lives of iniquity without Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God that he sent our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that it's true that on our own we are hopeless and without help in the world. But Jesus Christ is our help. Jesus Christ is all we need for salvation and for eternal life. That we would be, by God's grace, seated with him, be able to partake of that heavenly feast. And so the invitation goes out, and the door remains open today to come in, to hear the word of Jesus Christ, to apply ourselves, to take serious his commands, and find the life that they bring. I'd like to read a few verses from Isaiah 55, which seems to parallel so well with this chapter. It is a chapter of invitation. It is a chapter that speaks of the open door. And it begins with, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." It begins with an invitation to give your ears to the one who's speaking, the Lord himself. He says, "Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." To anyone who hears those somber words that Jesus requires and finds that they have nothing to give, he says, come. Jesus Christ paid a price that you might be able to partake. He is the one who's speaking and looking you in the eye and saying, do not delay. Do not hold back. Strive, fight. There is a warfare. As often with our own selves and our own insecurity and are wrapped up in what we can do and how we see things working out. But Jesus has riches and God has blessings that these eyes have never seen and cannot even comprehend. Only they can be obtained through faith and to simply believe and come as he says. He continues, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come near unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May we all hear the loving invitation of our Lord. To seek him, to pursue him, to strive for him, and to remember that it is his word that goes forth and accomplishes that which is pleasing unto him. That our lives would not bring forth thorns and briars, but that through his word being planted within our hearts as a good ground might grow forth to fruit for his honor and to his glory. May God bless his word. Amen.
The Bible says that God, our Savior, would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will for all mankind, for each and every soul that he has created, for each and every person that was born into this world. His desire is that they would be saved and come to this knowledge of the truth. And so he provided a way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ comes and he speaks here upon this earth and he tells this man and he tells us who will be saved, whether it be few or whether it be many. And he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. It is because of that sin and that pride that we just sung about that will inhibit those who want to come through that gate to allow them to come through. We have to leave our sin and our pride behind to enter into that gate. And so as was mentioned in the service, that these Jews here thought they had this lineage with Abraham and that they were all set. It would all be okay. But Jesus tells them, no, they're going to come from the east and the west and the south and the north, and they're going to be in thy kingdom, in the kingdom of the Father, and you yourselves are going to be thrust out. And so it's incumbent upon each and every one of us that we make the choice to serve the Lord, that we ourselves, whether there be many with us or few with us, that we ourselves would leave our sin and our pride behind and come through that straight gate and be in the fold with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's the word of God, that we all are going to give an account for ourselves. Did we come in through the straight gate? Did we leave our sin and pride behind? And we as believers, brothers and sisters in the Lord, need to be reminded of that and encouraged to leave our sin and our pride behind and walk in this gate through Jesus Christ, the straight and narrow way. And for our friends, Ecclesiastes says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine own eyes. Do your own thing, be your own man. Then the Bible says, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. It is only when we leave our sin and our pride behind that we can enter in through that narrow gate, and the Lord provides the way. Again, it's God our Savior's desire that all men would be saved and come to this knowledge of the truth. And so he provided a way, and that invitation has gone forth. And there is nothing left that needs to be done here upon this earth for that God needs to do that we would be saved. He gave unto each and every one of us free choice. We can serve the Lord. We can rid ourselves of pride and sin and serve the Lord and come through that gate, or we don't have to. But we have to know that for all these things, we will be brought into judgment. But God provided. He provided the way of Jesus Christ, and he loves us, and he will care for us. And he will not bring upon us anything more than that which we are able to bear. And with every temptation that Satan would throw our way, he will offer a way of escape. These things are, and the promises are real, and the promises are sure, and the promises are strong, that the Lord will provide. when we desire to serve him and to love him. The invitation has gone forth. There is a way. That way is Jesus Christ, and it leads to everlasting life. Amen.